Before we start, guys, I want to plug our DMP Unlocked is available in podcast, Apple Podcasts, Amazon, Spotify, YouTube Music, everywhere, right? So all you got to do is go to whatever podcast app you have and look for DMP Unlocked. All 37 episodes are there. And we have good viewership, guys. So thank you for all those that are following. Mm-hmm. And I hope we are able to impart a lot of stuff to you. For those who have not followed us yet, go download this in podcast now so you can listen to us everywhere you go. DMP Unlocked is a great resource for nurses that are new here in the US or are planning to come over here in the future. We're doing this for free for you guys because, you know, we went through what you guys are going through right now. And we hope that during our time, there was a resource like this. But here we are talking about stuff that you guys need to know. All the expert tips from your expert hosts, Nurse Anna, Travel Nurse Hacker K, and Dr. Nurse Paul.
While waiting for our viewers, you would like to welcome. We have someone from Jamaica. Hi, Arlene.
Hi, Arlene. She's one of our avid followers. Thank you, Arlene, for always joining our show.
So how's everyone doing for summer?
Our summer was fun. We didn't have power for 4 days last week under scorching 105-110 degree weather. So feels I'm back in the Philippines. No, but no plans for summer yet. I'm just busy working and all that. Spending time with puppies, spending time with family during my day off. I know Kay has been on a lot of trips recently. She was on the lake, the other show.
Yes, you know, summer is a very important thing for us because we work too hard over the year. So this is the only time that, you know, we have get the time to spend with the kids, but they're enjoying themselves too in the summer. We don't want to be like, hey, pestering them at parents' time. So it's a good time for all of us.
How about you, Anna? How's your summer so far? I know you have a family trip recently.
I will never ever complain every winter here or in Poland. So we've been having a lot of high temperature for like 95. And I was complaining. I was like, I think from the Philippines, I'm supposed to be used to this kind of weather. But no, it was scorching hot. They've been issuing a lot of, weather warning. And I can't even walk with my Pomeranians because I'm scared that, you know, they might have a heat stroke and their paws will get burned. So, it's so hot here. Like, I don't know. The air pump, I think my electric bill will be up this month.
Oh,
but
my
yes,
God.
I'm from California 3 weeks ago. Uh-huh. I haven't moved for 9 years. We spent a good time in New York City. We've been very excited and happy. And I mentioned my daughter, I'm going to have a high school this coming September. I can't believe it because when we arrived 9 years ago, my daughter was only 4 years old. Now she's 14. What happened?
That's 10 years in a blink of an eye.
Oh, yeah. I can relate.
I the thing here is what we do in the DMP Unlock makes our life faster because we do it in every week to educate a lot of our international workforce. So this is on top of that, kind of like stream pushes the schedule off like faster than it should be, because again, when you're having fun, it's just quick. You just don't realize how far we are already with this program that we have shared for our international reasons. Yeah. So without further ado, let's go to the main topic that we have to discuss today.
Yep. Why do we need to talk about different job classifications, Kay and Anna, first and foremost? Like, because it's confusing. When you come here to the States, where you're from full-time and you're doing now travel jobs and all that, you see all those W-2s and 1099s and FTEs and exempt and unexempt. It's a word salad, right? Why do we need to know this?
Definitely a word salad.
So a lot of our international nurses, the first thing that they get from employers after being picked as the talent to be hired is, they call it a job offer or the contract. You know, this job offers and contract contains a lot of legal jargons that a lot of our international nurses are not familiar. even though they're not legal jargon, sometimes they're regular regular words for job offer here in the US, but it's just very US specific that it's not used in other places. Mm-hmm. You know, one thing that we have to look into that is the W-2 or 1099.
Mm-hmm.
The other term that's being used is the exempt versus exempt, non-exempt, right? So those are a lot of words that are very, I would say, present in every job offer that listeners do not understand. So it's very important that we need to discuss these words, because if you don't follow what's in your job offer, then you can have issues. You know, misrepresentation or fraud, or you're being tricked on if you don't pay attention to those things. Okay, so we can start with the W-2 and the 1099. We know we there's a big difference about it.
Mm-hmm.
Right? It's a business owner, Paul.
Yeah.
Can you share, what do you think about the salary? Who should have higher salary, the W-2 or the 1099?
Yeah, probably. 1099.
Anyway, I think 1099 should have higher salary. Okay. Recently, you know, I like to check the market every now and then for if the rates are increasing, you know what I mean? So I always check job boards, even if I'm happy with my full-time job currently. And that's not because I wanted a new job. It's just me checking the market, right? There's a lot of 1099 offers for NPs, right? Because, you know, they have locums as well, kind of like travel nursing. But, you know, my hard rule is if I'm going to do 1099 at least 1.5 times my hourly rate currently or more, because you're going to explain why. But for me, 1099 should be paid more.
So just to give an idea, what is a W-2? So in 1099. So this is not really a specific person, but when you say W-2, it's the form. It's an IRS form that we sign. Right. Again, W-2 is the W-2 is the income tax that is being given to us by our employer to show the taxes that we have paid. You don't receive this before you start. Okay. You receive it at the end of the year when you're about to file your taxes, and you get this from your employer. But how will you identify that you are being treated as a W-2 income earner? There is a form that you will sign before you start your job, okay? So there's two things. There's two tax forms that you will see at the beginning of the job and at the end of the job. The beginning of the job, there is a thing called W-4. W-4 is a payroll tax form that you will sign, okay? So if you create a W-4 form at the end of the year, it's expected that you will actually be receiving a W-2 income, correct? So just to give you an idea, what is W-4, right? So can you guys see my window? So this is a tax form that everybody who is a W-2 income earner should be filling up at the beginning of the employment terms, okay? You can change this anytime if there will be changes. So again, this is called Employees Withholding Certificate. This is the form that you will fill up when you start your job. So at the end of the year, you will be receiving a W-2 form, which is like this, okay? So image PDF, right? So you guys can look at that. This is an IRS form. Again, go to the Google and you will see a W-2 very similar to this image here. It's like a little form on the right side that will say W-2, all right? So that's a difference. But when you say 1099, okay, so this is when you go here, it's called W-9, okay? You will fill this up. So this is W-9. When you create a W-9 at the beginning of the year, you will receive a 1099 form. Again, it's like, you know, you plant an apple seed, it will grow an apple. If you plant an orange seed, it will grow an orange. So if you plant a W-4, it will grow a W-2 later on. If you plant a W-9, then it will grow a 1099 form at the end of the year. So again, there's two tax forms. That's a big difference. You will identify yourself that you're being treated as 1099 if you receive this 1099. I mean, W-9 form. Okay, so because now this is very important. And why is this important? We have a lot of nurses that have been responding to us that they are being told that they're 1099 after arrival in the United States, okay? And have you, if you look at the contract, what does it say there? Does it say you're an employee of our company, or are you going to be a vendor of our company or this hospital? In your observation.
In my observation, I've seen in my contract, I'm employee of the company. During my first contract, when I arrived in the Philippines, but when I started going traveling for 5 years, I was a vendor. That's why I asked, what if a vendor? I'm not a vendor. And they were like, oh, you're probably call it vendor.
Yes. So there are important things that you have to remember. This is like a state issue. Mm-hmm. Well, first, you're federal level. You look at your ETA 9089, right? If he says there that you are employee with this wages, and you have an employer there, that's automatically that you are an employee. Okay. If in your ETA 9089 there is a sponsoring employer, then that means that you should be an employee. And I believe that there's no such thing as EB3 sponsored vendor.
Right? Yeah.
So I think that's the first thing. There's no such thing as that. But there is always an EB3 sponsored employee. Mm-hmm. There's always an H-1B sponsored employee. Mm-hmm. Okay, so you're an employee. If you look at your contract, the way to cross-check that is you're going to look at your contract, and it says here that this registered nurse is being hired as an employee of this hospital, right? Mm-hmm. Or this facility or this company. So that's the two things that you will have to pay attention is the form and the contract what's written.
I think that nurses always highlight. I know I am always saying I'm an old school type. Whenever you receive your contract, be it traveling or a contract from an agency, read every single word of it, highlight it, and if you have extra money, ask for a lawyer who explain it to you. I mean, I rather spend money now than suffer later, like the coroners are always saying. Because these firms are very complicated, and we're not from USA. You might be from Jamaica, Thailand, or Philippines, and we're not just say yes because you're so desperate to come here. So what
especially,
we're trying to,
especially if they're giving you like a very, very strict timeline. You have to sign within 3 days. We're going to rescind the offer.
24 hours. 24 hours.
Yeah, you have 24 hours to decide. No, I need more than 24 hours.
Yeah, so there's a big difference with, number one, there's a big difference with the form, okay, that you're going to sign the tax form. Number two, there's a big difference when you look at your ETA 9089. That's your immigration documents. You will see there who your employer is. Okay. So you're not your own employer. A 1099 income earner is an employer themselves. Okay. That's an employer themselves. There is a thing called, what's the difference when it comes to taxation? Paul, as a 1099 income earner, what's the difference when it comes to the amount of being removed from your paycheck?
Well, I'm not doing 1099 right now. I'm full-time. But with 1099, you're responsible for everything, okay? Most prominently, your taxes. You know, when we pay taxes, okay, as W-2, we only pay like 6.25% or something like that, right? I may be wrong. But that's because half of the tax percentage you pay, something like that, and the other half is paid by the employer. And that also includes your Medicare taxes, Social Security taxes, those are the FICA taxes. So three, right? Federal, Medicare, and Social Security. Mm-hmm. 50% to you, 50% to the employer. But if you do 1099, you're responsible for all. So you're going to pay like what, 12.5% K or something?
It's around, 15%. It's around
15%. 12 to 50%. So if you imagine that, K, automatically around 15% of your gross goes to FICA versus if you're a W-2, which is around 6-7%, half of it, because the other half is sponsored by employer. Remember, when you're 1099, you're not employed by the company. You are an independent contractor. And came for me, like working as an NP, it also gets a little murky because now I don't have workers' comp, right? I have to clarify, some 1099s offer you workers' comp, like, which means if I break my ankle at work because I'm trying to run to help a patient, right? Nobody's going to pay for that broken ankle, right? But when I'm W-2, the facility is responsible for me. If I get injured during the job, they will pay for everything. And then we're also talking about malpractice insurance, because as a provider, I have to be covered by malpractice insurance. When I'm W-2, my employer offers that built into the contract. You can always get your own, and it's always best to have your own, right? But with 1099, I have zero liability insurance, which means it is required that before I sign a 1099, I have that. And that's not only for our NPs. RNs should also have that. So you need to cover all of those. And then you're also talking about your insurances, because there's no benefits with 1099.
Yeah, thank you, Paul. I can show you a little screen here, because a lot of our, a lot of employers will always say, "Oh, do 1099 because this is, you know, this is gonna bring you home more income." No, a lot of them are saying that.
Lot of them are using it. You're gonna have more benefits when you file your taxes.
Yeah, so you can see here. Yeah, exactly, Anna. They were like, "Oh, your paycheck is higher." Sorry. So an example in here: a person who is being offered like 1099 or W-2 income. An example here is a chart that says, "Okay, 1099 you can see is bigger." Okay, like Paul and Anna, we were discussing this at the beginning. Who should be receiving bigger? A 1099 sure should be receiving bigger income. Primarily because if you see the Social Security and the self-employment taxes, the self-employed will have to pay bigger fees. Okay, and that's where Paul was mentioning the FICA, the Social Security, because as a W-2 income, you should be paying only half of that, 15%. Mm-hmm. But if you're a 1099 income earner, then you should be paying all of it. All right, so what happens there when your employer suddenly changed your employment status and did not adjust your income, right? If you're arriving here and it says the contract says you should be receiving $35 an hour, but then after arriving, they change your contract and you're still receiving $35 an hour. Well, then your boss is technically giving you the responsibility of the taxation that he should be paying. Another important factor you will see is the after-tax income might be bigger here on this graph, but again, the difference is around 3,000, all right, the after-tax income. But when you look at the gross income, that person should have been paid 7,000 more. Okay. But if you are not being paid 7,000 more, what will happen to this is this nurse will be paid less than a W-2 income. Okay.
Right.
And not only that, you're going to be paying also your health insurance, your, like your Paul said, your malpractice insurance. And as a single person, sometimes at this rate, I don't know how much is in your area, but here in around New York Metro, well, the insurance of a family, a person with a family of four, can, if you're getting it on your own, and can be as high as $16,000 a year, $15,000 a year for a family of four. So imagine reducing this amount of money all the way down to around that money. So you're technically being paid like around $65,000, which is way different than this. All right. So just to give you a rough idea on that, what happens when your boss or your employer suddenly change you to 1099 after arrival in the United States? You are being robbed off. And the thing is, there's a thing called prevailing wage in your ETA 1989. And this is how you get approved to come to the United States. If your boss promise you in your ETA 1899 that, hey, you should be receiving 77,000 per annum, but in reality, you're receiving only around 65. Well, that is a big problem because there is a violation of that prevailing wage, which your employer promised the immigration. So this is something that nurses really have to pay attention. If your boss changes, you shouldn't be agreeing to that at all right away. And that's a big red flag there.
I want to emphasize that 1099 or self-employment has a very, very strict definition per IRS, which is our tax federal agency, right? Majority of nurses, especially if you are an immigrant, will not qualify as a 1099 worker as a nurse because there are main categories that prohibit employers to do that. Do some employers do that? Of course they do, because they want to try to cut down money as much as they can. Imagine if I tell you, you know what, instead of paying you 100,000, I'm going to offer you 110,000, right? But you're going to be 1099. Then I'm saving 15% automatically as an employer because I'm not paying those taxes. You are now responsible for your own taxes. But you cannot just classify nurses as 1099 because there are strict rules with what is classified as self-employed 1099 or full-time employee W-2. You can ask IRS and you can tell them, hey, I want to know if my employer misclassified me as 1099. You are automatically a witness. And if IRS launch an investigation, you get a percentage for whatever they get, right? As a whistleblower. No, for real. Because that's tax. That's misclassification. And that's tax fraud as well. That's a federal offense. But some people, some employers still do it, right? Especially if you're a vulnerable person, like a new immigrant who knows nothing about the American system. You cannot be a 1099 when you get here to the States. You need to be established with a full-time job that offers you benefits, retirement, health and medical insurance, at least some form of liability insurance, workers' compensation. And of course, for you to not pay so much taxes because you're doing 1099, you have to go W-2 first. But there are nurses who are doing 1099, travel nurses. Some of us do locums, PRNs, travel nursing. Some of them are 1099s. So you just got to be aware before coming into a contract that 1099 may sound higher, all right? But is it really higher? It all boils down to what is in your net income, right? In your paycheck when it comes in, because you still have to pay all of those. And you know, there's no deduction, Kay, right? You can pay towards the end of the year when you file your taxes. So you might be getting more paycheck. Ooh, I'm making $5,000 more with my 1099. But when the tax man comes around and say, you haven't paid your 15% self-employment taxes, we need you to pay it, right? And this is how we see people on Facebook complaining, oh my God, I'm owing the IRS $40,000, $50,000. Yes, because you are 1099. Nobody deducted anything from you. You are self-employed. You are employed by yourself. Your employer is yourself. You are responsible to deduct taxes yourself. Something like that. And we've seen this a lot in a lot of Facebook groups because they were not aware of what 1099 is. So in the end, was it really worth it? We do not know. Check your numbers.
So there is also a thing, Paul, called quarterly income tax.
You can do that. Okay. Yes.
So as a W-2 income, as an employee, what happens during taxes, right? So every time you get a paycheck, your employer is actually deducting income taxes from your paycheck, okay? So like, if, for example, I'm Paul's employer and Paul is my employee. So for example, I'm Paul's employer. Paul, I'm going to give you a salary every 2 weeks, okay, as a normal employee. And your salary should be $100, okay? But from that $100, we will have to tax you. Let's say 25%, okay? Paul, I'm going to take the $25 from your paycheck and you will see it in your income, in your paycheck or pay stub, saying there your FICA, your Social Security, and your federal and your state income. So me, as an employer, that $25, I will have to send it to the government. Okay. And there's a thing called quarterly remittance, or there can also be like a bi-weekly remittance. Okay. Mm-hmm. Depending on the size of my company, if I'm a very, very big company who's generating so much revenue and income taxes, then I will have to remit it sometimes every week. Okay. But if I'm a small company, then I have to remit those income taxes like either monthly or quarterly, okay, remittance, depending on the size of my company.
Mm-hmm.
But I'm doing it automatically for you, Paul. You don't have to do it, okay?
Right, right.
But when you're a 1099, I don't do it, okay?
Right.
I'm the one who's giving your paycheck, which is full, no tax deduction. Now, Paul, you will have to pay this taxes to the government, mm-hmm. okay?
Mm-hmm. Right, right.
Paul, it's not 25 anymore. You will have to give 50 because you will have to pay them. Mm-hmm.
Yeah. Interest.
Right? So, but what if you did not know that? Majority of our international nurses coming to the U.S. workforce don't know that, right? What will you do, Paul? I mean, you don't know. At the end of the year, you didn't give anything to the government.
Well,
what do you think will happen?
We say ignorance of law is not an excuse. Mm-hmm. You are an adult, right? So they would expect you to know that. So taxes are taxes. There's no way around it. If you tell mm-hmm. IRS, I'm sorry, I don't know, they're like, it's fine. Don't worry about it. We'll just give you interest and you'll pay it over time. And in fact, we're going to auto deduct from your future salaries. It's called garnishing. So you don't have to worry about it. Now, to cut it short, they will still ask for the taxes, okay, regardless.
Okay, mm-hmm. they will get that money back, right? I mean, you have to pay that taxes. Uh-huh. So at the end of the year, when you file taxes before April 15, then you have to pay that. But you're not only paying the 25 taxes, Paul, because now you're late. Your income went beyond that limit that, according to Uncle Sam, that you should be remitting quarterly. You know, mm-hmm. every quarter, which means every 3 months, okay? Mm-hmm. If you don't do that, then you will have to pay taxes, I mean a penalty on that interest. Mm-hmm. And there's a penalty mm-hmm. that can be as high as 25% if you mm-hmm. if you don't file this. 25% is very high, right? So we're talking about, if you look at your federal taxes, just make an assumption that you might have to duplicate that money. Federal taxes is the highest amount of money that you deduct from your paycheck. And imagine paying that almost twice because you didn't know. Right. So there is a penalty if you don't remit that. And number one, that's something's gonna hurt you. Number two is, again, the health insurance that you're getting. If are you getting your health insurance or not, right? If you did get your health insurance because your employer did not do it for you, what do you think will happen if you have an emergency? Paul, you're an ER physician, I mean a PL nurse practitioner provider. Do you have an idea how much it costs if a person enters an ER with, let's say, just say I'm throwing up, I think I have gallbladder issues, or maybe Anna?
I think just by triaging you already get billed $1,000 something.
Yeah.
For that, right? And then you get.
I have one in December.
Acuity, yep, and the acuity level, and then provider's fee, and then radiology fee, lab fee, and you're acuity level. Like if you're level 3, I think that's automatically $3,000 or $5,000, and that's not even everything. Yep, because I had abdominal pain the other 2-3 years ago, and I went to the ER because I thought I have SBO. And I only paid $600 because that's my copay. I have insurance, right? But the total bill was $15,000 something because I got meds, I got CT scan, and all that. And I was in the ER for 4 hours to get all the scans done and all that. So $15,000. If you're self-employed, hello. This is where all the gross income that you are trying to get, because it's more income for you, this is where it's going to go now.
Right. So it's not, you think it's higher amount that you will receive on your paycheck, but actually it's hidden there, that you might be spending way more because you just don't know that, right? So that's our W-2 income versus 1099 income earner. So all immigrant nurses, please, when you arrive in the United States, you are all W-2 income earner. If your employer has given you a form called W-9, okay, that's the one we discussed earlier, the picture that I show. If you are given a form called W-9, again, any W-9 that you see, it's not Cloud9. You have to, that's a red flag, all right?
All right, so
now we're going to go over the next topic, which is called exempt versus non-exempt, all right? So these are the things that you, the words that you see in your exempt versus non-exempt. Paul? Paul, you're exempt, right?
Yes, I'm exempt. So, but just be careful with W-2 versus 1099. There's so much legal language or like tax information that you need to know. So don't sign 1099 until you actually, at least at the very least, know how much you're going to get, right? So anyway, I want to share my screen. What is exempt versus exempt? I'm currently exempt as a nurse practitioner. This is This image is from QuickBooks, and I want to read it. Exempt basically receives a regular salary, right? So later, I'm going to talk about another version of these, hourly versus salaried. Exempt basically is salaried, right? Payment depends on what hours you sign during a contract. And the earnings, of course, it depends on your job. So let's ignore that part in the image. But for example, with me, all right, I'm salaried right now. Before, when I was a full-time nurse, I was non-exempt. As exempt, I'm contracted for 40 hours, and this is how much I make, right? It doesn't matter if I only work 30 hours, 34 hours, 32 hours, 36, because I only actually do 36 hours. The other 4 hours is what we call free time or administrative time to catch up with your charts, with your labs. But I don't do a lot of those because I finish job when I'm at the office, right? So the 4 hours is free time for me. So I'm technically getting paid 40 hours, working less hours. That's exempt, right? Now, depending on your employer, when you're exempt, if you go over your usual hours, they may not pay overtime, because it's a contracted rate for your certain roles and responsibilities that you have, right? Or job description. But there are also employers, especially if you're working in a hospital, clinically, they can also pay you overtime. That, like with me, I'm contracted 40 hours. So that's 3 shifts a week. If they bring me into the clinic for another 4 weeks, then I still get my overtime, time and a half, regardless if I still have 4 hours that haven't worked, because that 4 hours is already built into my contract. So any shift more than 3 days in a week is my overtime. So what I'm trying to say is, with exempt, it gets a little complicated because you're salaried, right? Which means you make same amount every 2 weeks in your paycheck, or every month if that's your paycheck situation. Every 2 weeks here is most common in the US. So every 2 weeks you get the same amount, regardless of how much work you put in. But with me, I'm contracted 40 hours. To be honest with you, Kay, I don't, or Anna, I don't even do 40 hours of work, all right? Because working smart, not harder, right? But it doesn't mean that I'm not working, right? It's just I'm efficient with my time. I plan ahead. I go ahead, you know, and I'm one step ahead with my, with what I'm doing. That way I'm not backed up. And sometimes I would need to bring charts at home, but very, very rarely. So in short, for me, it works for me because I can manage my time well. And yet I still get the same amount. It's not varying amount a week. All right. For non-exempt, this is the situation for more for a lot of nurses. The other name is hourly. All right. You don't have a specific time that you're contracted for a week or for 2 weeks. But you still have to meet your contract if you're full-time, part-time, or per diem, right? Or PRN. So for example, full-time, they require you to get at least 32 hours or 36 hours a week. You still need to make those. But you're going to be paid by the hour. Majority of the time, non-exempt people make more money. Because like I said, some exempt people are not paid overtime. Not in my case, because I contracted my case to be paid, right? But for non-exempt, every hour that you work, all right, every hour that you work, you are paid. So for example, you work 40 hours. For example, you work 40 hours, then you're paid for that. 45 hours, you came into the meeting for 2 hours, you get paid for that. You came in for 4 hours of education, you get paid for that. Mm-hmm. So this is how a lot of nurses make more, because they're putting more hours, right, overtimes, so they can make more money, all right? So that's the thing with non-exempt. A lot of our nurses are non-exempt, all right? But there are specific job descriptions. For nurses, we don't have to worry about that. Definitely nurses pass the duties test or IRS definition for non-exempt employees. Mm-hmm. So you are paid by the hour. And that's what lead me to my next slide. So I just defined exempt versus non-exempt. But basically, the other term that we use is hourly versus salary. So salary is exempt. Hourly is non-exempt. So if you hear these terms, you just have to know how you are paid. It's the structure of your pay. If you're hourly, majority of nurses are non-exempt or hourly. You get overtime pay, holiday pay. Depends on your contract. You can choose what days you want to work, right? Not all of the work that we do have flexibility, right? But you got to find those hospitals that offer that. The other thing is you get differential pays, critical pay. So with me, I had differential as an ER nurse before. I had critical pay and then preceptor fee, stuff like that. Multipliers is what I call it. Charge nurse fee, bonuses. Because, you know, sometimes they're like, oh, we're short by 2 nurses. If anyone would come in, $200. Nobody responds, $300. You know what I mean?
Higher.
Salaried people don't get that, right? Only non-exempt or hourly people get that. So those are what I call multipliers, right? Kind of like times two, times three, something like that. The cons are lack of stability, of course, because you only get paid by the hour that you work. So this gets a little nerve-wracking and a little scary if you're doing part-time in PRN, because no work, no pay. If you're full-time, you might be accumulating PTO, paid time off, which you can use. But paid time off is not unlimited, right? Pay losses. So like I said, you don't work today, you got injured, and it's not work-related where they're not going to cover you, and you don't have disability insurance, then you lose pay because no work, no pay. And fewer benefits, I think that's pretty debatable, because with nursing, the benefits are also one of the things that employers highlight when they try to hire you, because they know benefits are very competitive, right? But that's one thing you need to remember for hourly. For salaried exempt, the pros are, like I said, stability. Some people like stability. You get regular paycheck every 2 weeks because you're paid certain contract, your salary, it doesn't change, all right? You have paid time offs, but even hourly can have that, and you get benefits as well, but even hourly can have that. The hourly is a gross term because you can be hourly but full-time, right? So full-time, you still get benefits, you still get paid time off, but you can be hourly and PRN or as needed staff. That's when benefits and paid time off becomes a problem because you don't get those. Anna will talk about that in a bit. Mm-hmm. And the problem with salary, depending on your contract structure, a lot of these jobs don't pay overtime because they already expect that what you do is part of your job description, which you are being paid per job description. Are you a nurse manager? You're paid this much, all right? That's how much you're paid. It doesn't matter if you work from home 2 hours, extra 2 hours to do your schedules or to call additional staff member at 8 p.m. when your job is done at 5 p.m. That's part of your job description, right? You're not being paid by the hour, right? But like I said, with me, there's a built-in, for me, it's part of my contract. I have a built-in terms where if I come in extra to cover clinics, for providers that are on PTO, then for me, I still get overtime. So with me, it's it all boils down to what you negotiate with. That's why it's very important to know the details of your contract. With me, I made sure that I asked them about that. And the first time they asked me to come into the clinic for extra day, I asked them, is this part of my salary or am I going to get overtime time and a half? They said, you're going to get overtime time and a half. And I'm like, okay, sign me up. Where do I sign up? I'm just kidding. But a lot of nurses, but that's extra money. But like I said, a lot of salaried Kay and Anna don't get paid extra. So that's one of the cons. And of course, less autonomy because you're expected to be on 8 to 5 if you're doing Monday to Friday type of job. So you may not be in the office, but if your boss calls you at 3 p.m., you got to pick up, right? And the good thing with salary is fixed schedule. So like I said, these are the 8 to 5 Monday to Friday jobs, no holidays, no nothing like that. But then again, sometimes those fixed schedules can be prohibitive, right? What if you want to take off, something like that? So some nurses prefer to do their 3 days because they have 4 extra days with their families. So the 8 to 5 Monday to Friday, 5 days a week at work may not work for nurses because we're not used to it, right? So anyway, those are just the definitions between exempt, non-exempt, or salaried, which is exempt, and hourly versus non-exempt. But Anna will talk about the next part, which is basically full-time, part-time, and PRN, because this is where it gets crazy with the hourly pay. All right, I'll pass the baton to Anna.
Give it to me in purple. Okay, everyone, so I am being asked to talk about the difference between full-time job or a PRN job. So when I arrived 9 years ago in my contract, it was stated I will be working full-time job and I'm not allowed yet to have any other job. So for now, let's talk about full-time job. What is a full-time job? Meaning you might be working 36 hours, 3/12, or 40 hours, 8 hours, 5 days. So what are the benefits of the working full-time versus PRN. PRN, when I came here, I said, what is PRN? Is that the medication as needed? No, those are per diem jobs. So PRN job offers more flexibility in terms of different things. So I have my notes here. Okay, so full-time nurse, full-time job, 46 hours or 40 hours. Number one, you will have a job security. Okay, think of it as a cozy blanket on a cold night, steady and reassuring when you're a full-time job. So when you arrive or wherever you came from, please make sure that in your contract you are going to work as a full-time, not on call, not PRN. Okay, because you need that job security, that job income stability, especially when you're starting in USA. Number two, the benefits. Okay, like winning the lottery every month, you have health insurance, you have retirement plans, and paid vacation. Make sure that those are also stipulated or written in your contract. And number three, consistency. When you are newly arrived there, you want to start it slow and steady, and you want to go it consistent. Not just for the income, but also for your schedule. Are you working nights, days, evenings? Will you need to work weekends? Or will you have to pay calls? Number four, professional growth. When you work full-time, a lot of hospitals or other facilities like nursing home will offer a free health education in terms of, you know, annual paid module learning. And we have like BLS, they offer it free, ACLS, health. And number five, team integration. You will have friends when you work full time. You're gonna have a work family, as what others call it. It's like being part of a tight knit sports team. Everyone knows the role and works together. So what are the cons of being a full time? Well, aside the opposite of being secure, rigidity, meaning feels like you're stuck, like you have to complete or comply work for both hours, 46 hours, 40 hours, in the same loop, same hour, same place every day. It's like eating your favorite pancit every day or lumpia every morning. Number two, working at full time, it will cause burnout, you know, because like running a marathon every day without break. Okay, here we go again. Okay, med pass or scrubbing in or labor and delivery time. Number three, you cannot avoid this. Politics. Yes, there is politics when you work full time. That's why our nurse has left and became a traveler nurse, right? The partners fall and play. One reason of leaving being full time is politics. Sometimes it's like high school drama. I know we're all grown up, we're all professionals, but still we act out. So those are, I lost my notes. Sometimes, yeah, like drama all over again, navigating the clicks and conflicts. Number four, the cons of working full time is less variety. Working in the same place can feel like eating your favorite meal every day. Like what I said earlier, delicious at first, but later on you get tired of it. So I used to work full time over nurse, and then I switched to programming nurse for 5 years. And I'm not gonna lie, I miss traveling, not just for the money, but the variety, new people, new place, new learning. So let's move over to PRN or per-diem job. So what is per-diem job? Opposite of full time. You can only work whenever you like it, whenever you feel like it, when you want to earn extra. So right now, I am no longer traveling. I work full time in a level 2 trauma. And I also work per-diem in my 5 minutes neighbor hospital. And that hospital is a small community hospital. So I only work whenever I feel like it. Or the manager, hey, Anna, you want to do breaks? You want to do lunch? I work in the OR. And like what I said, just whenever I feel like it. So number one, flexibility. I love flexibility. I can work 7 to 3 a.m., 9 to 5, or 11 to 7. Or sometimes I can only come in for 2 hours. Number two, variety. Since I work full time in a level 2 trauma, all the cases that I've been doing was all about trauma, not the elective one. So working in a per-diem small community hospital, you know, still I get the chance to scrub in elective cases. And of course, higher pay. Why? Because you're not getting any benefits. No health insurance, no retirement. So that's why you are getting higher benefits. Number four, I find to have a work-life balance when you work per diem, because like what I said, you only work whenever you like it and you feel like I eat extra hours or on call. Number five, learning opportunities. Like what I said, from level 2 trauma full time, and my per diem is only a small community, I still get to learn small places. And you meet other people too. So what are the consequences of being a per diem? Very obvious. Lack of benefits, because you're not getting health insurance, sick time, or paid time off, unlike when you work a full time. Inconsistent income. Please, nurses, when you are an immigrant, do not say yes. When you sign a contract, you're going to be on call or you're going to work per diem. No, when you're starting your life here, you need a constant income. PRN will not help you. But, Mom Anna, they're paying more when you're PRN. Yes. But remember, you can be canceled anytime. Like the other day, hey, Anna, we have enough staff, so you don't have to come in. So if you are relying on the income, it's not good. Per diem is only for additional income. For example, I love concert. So whenever I plan to see a concert, I work for my per diem job. So inconsistent income, not good for a newly arrived nurse. Limited job security. Like what I said, you can be canceled anytime because They will favor the full-time nurses first over you per diem. And telling this, you're not always in the hospital. You might be missing a new equipment, a new in service. So sometimes they only put me in a case that I'm used to. Fewer advancement opportunity, like playing a game on easy mode, you know, less chance to level up with me. So these are my thoughts and my information about full time and RBM. It's nice to have both. When I'm on vacation on my full time job, since my RBM is 5 minutes away from me, I usually go there just to make friends with my coworker and to earn extra. How about you, for all and Clay? Do you still work for RBM? Oh, for all my melody.
Yeah, I did.
Until
yes,
now?
I did. Yeah. No, not right now.
Not anymore.
I don't know. I'm thinking about doing PRN for ER just to brush up my skills. But busy with so many things. But when I was doing ER nursing, I definitely have PRN. Because like I said, that's extra money. Sometimes you're like, I'm not going to do anything right now. Or you know what? My trip was canceled. Or you know what? I have an extra time. And this extra time could be extra money. So let me work on this, you know? Or if I want to, like you said, go on a trip, I want to buy something. I was like, it will not touch my savings if I do pick up a PRN right now. So, but like you said, do not make that as your only source of income, all right? Because PRN is as needed. If they don't need you because the season is low, like for example, as ER, If it's summer, it's a slow season, right? Because there's not a lot of flu or COVID or RSVs or respiratory illnesses that get them pneumonia. So there's not a lot of people, depending on where you're working. So they might not need PRN. They might say, you know what? We don't need anyone to come in right now, PRN, for this in the next 2 to 4 weeks. So then you don't have income because you're as needed. You're the first one to. But when they send people home or cancel schedule, they go by highest paid first. So travel nurse first, then internal contracts next, then PRN next, then part-timers and full-timers. So full-times always get the priority because like they're full-time. And then part-time, full-time, part-time are almost similar.
Yeah.
It's just a difference in hours, right? So something like that. And then they can mix up the concepts now. W-2 full-time, W-2 part-time, W-2 PRN, 1099 PRN. Okay.
Yeah, I need that part. Yeah, how about you, Clay?
So I would say it depends on the dynamics of the household. For me, if an international nurse would come here in the United States and he or she has no other choice but, of course, to become a full-time employee with full benefits, okay, with full benefits. If that person would come with a spouse or a dependent that can work, okay, do they need a double, you know, double full-time job? This is where I say this is you strategize. You don't need double, okay? You don't. If that person, if the primary employee, which is your spouse who came here with a contract that's saying that they have benefits from employer and it's a good benefit, I don't recommend the other spouse to be getting a full-time job because when you apply for a full-time job, your salary goes down to compensate for those benefits that you will receive. But the question is, do you need those benefits? If the answer is no, because my husband carries it or my wife carries it, then I don't recommend that other partner to be working as a full-time with full benefits. Okay, this is where you come in. Either you can be a PRN, okay? Because PRN salaries are higher than regular staff because they're not receiving any health benefits or any benefits at all that the hospital's providing. But I do heard some PRN are getting, if you're an internal pool PRN, they have some benefits as well, okay? The alternative right now, this is kind of new for the past few years, they call it internal travelers. Okay, so again, if you're a staff, I mean, if you're the spouse of a person of that nurse who was recently sponsored and you're a nurse yourself, but you have the flexibility to choose any other employer in that location because you're not under contract, compared to your spouse. So there is a thing that you want to explore called internal travelers. And who are they? So internal travelers is not similar. It's kind of similar to per diem. Per diem is a day-to-day basis. An internal traveler is like a traveling nurse, but just you're local. You just stay in that area. And internal traveling means that your dad hospital will need you like, oh, we need you in 8 weeks. We need you in 3 months. We need you for 12 weeks because somebody just took a maternity off or somebody went on unexpected sick leave or disability leave. We need somebody to come in here on that time being to patch up our scheduling or staffing to cover for that only for 8 weeks. Okay, so again, per diem versus internal travel. Per diem, well, you don't know. You have to go day by day. But as an internal travel, you will have a feeling of what your schedule will be like on the next 3 months or 2 months. Okay, so that's the two difference there. And both PRN, internal traveler, might or might not be receiving benefits, but your income is way more than a permanent staff. Okay, so that's a thing. Also, I'd like to mention, if you are going to be PRN for the whole year, the best way to strategize there is do not just sign up for one PRN job. Okay, it's like being it's like me being a sale, having a store, right? I'm selling coffee. I'm not getting my sugar supply from one vendor only, okay? Because if that vendor, you know, their truck breaks down, then what? Am I not be able to serve or sell? I don't have income, right? So as an investor, we always say, do not put your eggs, do not put all your eggs in one basket, okay? So if this income for you is very important and you already set your day, it's like, and every week I should be receiving at least three per diem income. So I don't recommend you sticking with one employer. You can sign up for as much as five employers, right? Sign up for five employers who will do per diem. And then they, you know, if one cancels, then you still have a backup. Okay. You always have a backup. So again, job security for per diem is not there, but if you strategize to put more employers on your pool of employers, then that can be doable. As for me, as a traveler, people thought like, oh, traveling for 17 years, that's crazy. Right. You might, you know, you don't have job security. I said, who said that I only have one employer agency? I had listed myself to 40 companies. And that's because I prioritized job security and higher income. You can mitigate the risks of it, right? All right, so hope you guys learn something in here.
Yeah.
You can go for a question and answer, right?
Well, I just want to share, since you mentioned about all nurses, because we know my husband is also a nurse. Now, I am go full-time. I am no longer traveling. All the benefits come from me. I send him to travel. It works well, so but now I'm having a hard time with vacation time. I like when I was a traveler, you know, three months and be off. But like what Clay says, when you're couple, it will help you a lot to strategize one or full time and another one for VM or traveling gig. So
right. So it's different when you're single because the only earner in your family is you. You got to manage your time well. It's good if you're double nurse, double earner. I think that works well, even if you live in high cost of living areas. Sure. Like I said before, salary is always dependent on you personally, like depending on your personal situation. Are you single? Are you married? If you're single, there are ways to lower your taxes or stuff like that, or still get good earning jobs that can suffice with you as the only earning person, right? That way when you're sick, you still have extra savings. When you're married, and especially if you're two nurses, that's two nursing income going into the table, right? So that adds more flexibility as far as money, as far as paychecks coming in, and one person could do. I've seen that a lot, like what Anna's doing. One One person is full-time getting all the full-time benefits. Mm-hmm. One person is doing the PRN because PRN pays more, or 1099 mm-hmm. pays more. Now it makes more sense because you don't have to worry about your health insurance or disability insurance or stuff like that, because your spouse, which has full-time benefits, has that. Mm-hmm. So it all boils down to your personal situation. And then again, it's good to listen to podcasts or stories like what we hear here in our podcast, but always, always analyze your individual situation. Do your own research, right? Because the only person who actually know your financial state, what type of salary you need, how much you need to earn, how much you need to save, what types of job do you want to do? Like, is it PRN that offers more flexibility, or you cannot have flexibility because you have to have a stable job like a W-2 or exempt? It all boils down to you. So do your own research, gather all the information that you learn from websites, blogs, from seminars that you go to, but ultimately you get to decide on that.
Mm-hmm.
Find a job that works for you. Right?
Yeah. But I just want to point this out before we wrap up. If you are coming here with a spouse that is able to work and you're being sponsored by your employer and you're under contract, okay, you should be, your spouse should be following your contract, your schedule. Mm-hmm. Okay. Don't sign up a contract and then when your spouse come in here, then you will call off from your work. Because you're going to say mm-hmm. to your boss, hey, I cannot come to work today because my spouse just got a job and mm-hmm. and I cannot be there. No, you came here as a sponsored employee. You promise your employer that you're going to work for them full time. The benefit of the employer was to bring your spouse here. That's a benefit. But your spouse is not the reason why you're here in the United States.
Mm-hmm.
Your schedule and your loyalty with your schedule should be with your employer who sponsored you, okay? Because mm-hmm. I've been hearing a lot of issues of nurses kind of like being on the breach of contract because they're not uh-huh. showing up for work. And what the reason is, because the employer will say, well, she always calls out because there's no one left for the child, for the kid at home, mm-hmm. because the spouse started working already. Okay, so mm-hmm. when you have that situation, this is against you. All right, so again, if I'm the contract person and Paul is my spouse, okay, let's just say, although I know Paul, I'm not Paul's type, but let's just for it today. So I would say, you know, honey, find a job because my salary as an immigrant nurse, it's not enough. I'm only earning $30 an hour. We have two kids. You need to find a job.
We're in New York.
Okay. I said, honey, can you go somewhere else to work? Okay. Now Paul pick up a job somewhere else. And now his boss is, or his job, new job is kind of demanding too. Like, hey, Paul, can you do extended hour? Okay. For me as the sponsored nurse, that cannot be an excuse for me to call out if Paul is not sure. available, okay? Because mm-hmm. Paul was a benefit for me to bring my family, but Paul is not the priority here. The priority that should be adhering to the schedule is me because I'm the contracted nurse, okay? Paul, mm-hmm. before he picks a job, he should be checking the flexibility of job, okay? So if I have a Monday to Friday work, Paul can definitely work weekends. But if I have on calls, then that be a problem to Paul if Paul will work night shift. Okay.
Mm-hmm.
Paul, if there is a person between me and Paul who should call out first, it should be him. Because mm-hmm. even if he, you know, ends that job, he's not going to be under any contract. He's a free agent.
Sure.
But me, if I call out and I break my contract, that is a big damage, you know, to us, to our family. Financial damage for breach of contract. All right. So always remember that, because I hear a lot of Filipino nurses coming to me that hey, you know, I'm being in trouble because I call up because nobody's gonna stay at home with the child. The thing is, you are under contract. Your spouse should work around your schedule. If your spouse uh-huh. cannot find a job that can work around your schedule, then your spouse should not be working. Okay. Mm-hmm. If they find a flexible job, then that's what they should be doing, because the priority is you. You have a contract and you should be the priority. Okay?
I think very informative. A lot of nurses forget that the reason why they came here, because they were being hired by the agency. And I heard that too. One I think I have an email about that, and I reminded them who signed the contract. Mom and me. Okay, so you will be going to work. So I'm going to say again, when we arrived 9 years ago, I was the one who signed the contract. So I'm the one who worked. And when Ryan asked his entrance, he looked for a job that will accommodate our schedule. He worked night, I worked day. And you're right, okay, he calls out. I got called out because I want to finish my contract early. So that's how it works. Please help all nurses be reminded, or help all immigrants coming to the U.S. honor your contract. You will want to pay that breach of contract because of calling out.
All right. Thank you. Any questions in the chat? I don't see any question. It looks like, you know, we've delivered very good. We have a very good NCLEX instructor here.
Yeah. It says, thank you so much from Hermina. Thank you so much, Dr. Paul, Ma'am Anna, and Ma'am Kay for these informative ideas.
I want to say hi for Marvin. Hello for Marvin.
Hi, Marvin. Thank you for joining us today. Jorley was joining us from Qatar. JM is joining us from Kuwait. Cheeto says, hi, Anna.
Classmate. And
Karen was joining us from Rwanda. For a master's degree. Nice, nice. Mm. But anyway,
I think everyone clear about the difference between W2 and the 1099, the exam and then exam. Those are very helpful because when I came in 9 years ago, what is W2, what is 1099, am I exam or not? Those are very helpful, especially the ERN, like what I said earlier. I thought it was a medication schedule as needed. I didn't know that a PRN means early job. So those are very helpful topics. I enjoy it today.
Yeah. I would just say that all nurses who are being sponsored to come to the United States, you are all W-2. Okay, there's no excuse there. Again, all nurses coming to the United States that's being sponsored, there is no reason you should be 1099. You are automatically and should be W-2 income earner. You should be non-exempt. Okay, non-exempt hourly paid. Again, all international nurses coming to the United States sponsored under EB-3, H-1B visa, if you're going to be a frontline worker, you are definitely going to be a W-2 income. No other than that, you're not 1099, okay? If a lot of traveling nurses are saying they're 1099, there is a lawsuit also against that. It's called misclassification. Mm-hmm. Because frontline nurses, you don't have the sole decision to carry out orders. You have to depend on someone, and that someone is called a doctor, okay? Mm-hmm. You have to depend on a doctor to give you an order, and then you carry out. Unless you're a person who will do that order, you're called advanced nurse practitioner. Okay? Advanced nurse practitioner, they don't need doctor to tell them what to do. But for bedside nurses, frontline nurses, you are actually carrying out somebody's order. So you do not fall under 1099. All right? So that's the IRS definition there. So please, if somebody's telling you as a frontline worker, or you are the one who's carrying out the physician's order, you're not eligible, you're not licensed to put an order for other people to carry out, then you might be in a situation called misclassification. Okay, so again, all international nurses, W-2. Don't ask us about 1099.
Right. Please don't.
Yeah, just kidding. You can ask us, but if you hear 1099 upon arrival, it's a red flag.
Red flag.
Contact.
Red flag.
Red right, flag. So here we go again with the red flags and laughing.
Okay. W-2. So always remember, W-2 and non-exempt. Me, I'm exempt. I'm working more than 40 hours a week. I'm working 60 hours a week now.
Oh, welcome to the exempt club, Kay.
Yeah.
I think we're maturing because now from non-exempt.
I don't know if I'm maturing. And also FYI, not all your managers are being paid more than you, okay? Because managers are exempt. If they are on call at their house, you know, some nurses, some senior nurses who is actually receiving hourly charge role, hourly differential, right?
Weekend.
Weekend, overtime. you might see them getting paid on your manager. Okay, so don't think like, oh, my manager should do this because, oh, they're getting paid. Well, that's not the case for all of the, you know, nurse manager, assistant nurse manager, most likely if you're a senior nurse or you're doing a lot of overtime, you're going to be paid more than your manager. So please never think. Yeah, that's the truth, and that's why we have a shortage of a lot of frontline leaders.
I used
leaders,
to make more than my manager, which is my friend. We compare, but she just likes the flexibility because she has a son, you know, like, as a manager, she could leave for like 1 hour and still be at work because she can work on the phone, pick up her son, something like that. That's all she likes. But in terms of hourly, I was making more because I was picking up extra shift, something like that. So be respectful of each role. All of us
have roles. Exactly.
That's one thing I don't like about nursing, though. Okay, sometimes it's I'm not saying I don't like nursing. That's just one thing I don't like. Very petty. Like, just respect. If they want to be managers and that's their job that they want, you don't have to rub it on their faces. I'm making more than you. Well, then that's just how it is. People make choices based on their individual needs, right? So,
currently, like what you said, but currently, you're about to.
So again, the majority of our managers are exempt. Okay, majority of the frontline nurses are non-exempt. So that's
Nice to be manager now. Okay,
nice to be managers. Yes, be nice. You know, I mean,
Anna's the only non-exempt here.
I'm not gonna go there. I'm not gonna complain. Why my vacation was denied?
As long as my managers are reasonable, and majority of my managers that I've worked with are very reasonable. I mean, I always like try to understand on the other side of things. Maybe there's a reason. Maybe I ask for vacation time too soon. Maybe if I do 2 months, 3 months in advance, maybe there would be chance. Or sometimes I help them out, like, you know, I need PTOs on these days, but you know what? You're not going to have to worry because I found coverage. I'm going to tell you right now, 100% that PTO will be approved because all they're concerned about is who's going to cover you. That way, nobody's going to be angry at them that you're short, right? So, but if I found coverage, I did your job. You know, you're going to, all you got to do is approve my PTO and put them on the schedule.
Oh, any last word? Yes, if your hospital or employer is telling you that you have to do all these modules at home that you need to, that is very important. You get paid. You get paid as a
hourly, right? Paid hourly.
Correct. As a non-exempt, if they give you module, okay, again, your manager tells you, hey, you have to do this module at home. You're due for this module. You have to do this at home. Okay, so yes, you can do it at home, Paul, if it's an online module. But you have to write down the time. I started at 10 a.m. and I finish at 11 a.m. Then you submit that time to your manager. Okay, because those are called paid work. Okay, paid training. Right, right. Okay, paid training. If they're mandating you to do work and that is related to you, your work, and you're doing it after your finisher already, your 40 hours or not even that finishing your 40 hours, as long as you're doing it, you're putting time work, then that should be a paid if you're doing it at home. For managers, if we do it at home, for your leadership, for your directors, if we do it at home, that's not paid. That's a big difference.
Thank you.
That's not paid. That's not paid. Yeah. Managers, nursing directors, assistant nurse.
Me too, manager.
Yeah, you know, our CRNE and our nurse practitioners, they don't get paid if they have to do modules at home. But if you are a W-2 income that is not exempt, then you get paid those modules. Please write down your time, submit it to your manager. This is the module I did. This is the date and time I did it. And I put 2 hours to it and you should be paid. Okay. So that's our last word there before we forget about that. All right. So any last words?
Anna?
My last word will be remember that achieving your American dream doesn't stop when you pass your MCAT and when you have a visa on your hand. Achieving your American dream meaning you have a lot of things to learn. Your IRS, your access, your benefits, your rights as an immigrant. Please don't stop to learn. Do not rely on other people before you advocate for your patient, advocate for yourself first, create the life you want. And have a good Sunday.
And that is why they have to follow DMP Unlocked podcasts in Apple Music or Apple Podcasts, Spotify, Amazon Music, YouTube Podcasts, because they're going to learn a lot from everything that we've talked about. For me, my last word is know your individual personal situation. And remember that gross pay is not everything. What is important is what remains in your paycheck when everything has been deducted, because that's where your budget will start. Do not be, how do you say that, enticed, because, oh my God, I'm making 100,000 and they're offering me 120,000. Maybe that 120,000 is not worth it, because towards the end, the taxes, because it's 1099, you're going to be left with less, right? So anyway, that's where our next topic next week will lead to. We're going to talk about how to compute your paycheck. We've already talked about this in the past, but this time we're going to go into details. What are the tips and strategies? How do we compute our paycheck? What do we use as a resource to compute our paycheck? Mm-hmm. We're going to talk about that. So next week, DMP Unlocked, it's going to be same time, 8 a.m. Central Standard Time. Episode 39 will be about computing your paycheck. And for the last week of the month, July 28th, we're going to talk about reporting, labor issues. Very, very important.
All the red flag. I'm gonna bring red flag on July 28th.
Yeah, we all should have red flags and we race it every time there's a red flag.
Yes, that will be fun.
Right. Anyway, okay, thanks to all of you. Thank you, Anna. Okay, have a great weekend.
Thank you all. Everyone. Have a nice weekend and stay cool. It's very hot in America today, this week.
I'm a painter queen. How about you?
Okay. Bye. No, I'm like this. I'm Snoopy. There you go. Bye-bye.